The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
And welcome once again tonight as Wrestling Unwrapped. I wanted Ruru, but I didn't get Ruru. Wu reacts to the history-making 2017 edition of WWE Money in the Bank. Usually the night where everything can change. Boy, was tonight different. I'm your host. My name is Patrick Hudson. And joining me, as always, Mr. Harry Broadhurst.
Speak for yourself. I actually, by and large, enjoyed this one. It'll be interesting to see where we agree and where we don't agree.
I'm sure we're not going to agree.
All right, so I have them in front of me. Do you want to go through the results real quick, and then we'll go into the actual conversation about the show itself?
Well, before we even get to that, we probably should mention we are a presentation of the W2M Network. For more information, including all shows, including W2M's very own MITB post-show and our own written reviews, the most updated one being from ECW Guilty as Charged 2001, check out W2Mnet.com as well.
Just another addendum to that as well. We are going to be working on our next written review. It will be PWG's Tremendous from 2006. But it's been so damn long since me and Patrick watched it, we have to go back and rewatch it to give it ratings.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
In addition, tonight's episode of Woo Reacts is brought to you by the Madhouse Toy Chest. stores.ebay.com/Madhouse Toy Chest. If you are a fan of anything wrestling, you can find it inside of the Toy Chest. DVDs, action figures, VHS tapes, magazines, posters, and more. That is stores.ebay.com/Madhouse Toy Chest. Shout out to Jason for getting my girlfriend's anniversary gift from me as well. I appreciate his assistance in that matter.
Happy anniversary to you as well, Harry, and also to any of our listeners who may be one themselves. Happy Father's Day.
Indeed. Our producer included.
Huh?
Our producer included.
Definitely. I know someone who didn't have a very happy Father's Day, considering what happened with his son. We'll talk about that a little later. But as we always do, let's get this started how we always do. Here's Harry with the quick results from Money in the Bank 2017.
All right, here we go. The pre-show match saw the Hype Brothers reunited as Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley took out Primo and Epico Cologne at 8 minutes and 28 seconds. Carmelo wins, I'm air quoting even though you can't see it, the women's Money in the Bank ladder match to kick off the show at 13 minutes and 30 seconds. The New Day defeats the Usos by countout at 12 minutes and 12 seconds. Naomi taps out Lana at 7:30 to retain the SmackDown Women's title. Jinder Mahal pins Randy Orton at 21 minutes-ish to retain the SmackDown title. The Fashion Police, Breezango, Fabreeze, call him what you will, defeat the Ascension, who apparently still have jobs, at 3 minutes and 30 seconds. And Baron Corbin wins the SmackDown Men's Money in the Bank ladder match at 29 minutes and 50 seconds. Did you watch the pre-show?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so we can't talk about that match.
The last two, you haven't. Oh, okay, true. We talked about last month.
Oh, yeah, because it was Apollo and Kalisto, and it's actually really damn good. This one, not quite as good, but not bad.
Yeah, true. So, real quick, as Harry mentioned, we have seven matches to talk about, rather than six, because one got added. How about we just get right to this?
Yes, apparently they found a working VHS player in 2017. Frankly, I'm impressed.
We're going to talk about that one. So, Yet again, it is the night where everything changes, and for the first time since 2013, we actually have two legitimate Money in the Bank ladder matches. I'm not counting the year that it was a title match. So, who will be able to cash in, and who's going to walk out with their belts? Let's find out. This is the full review for the history-making 2017 edition of Money in the Bank. And kicking things off, yes, with the pre-show, the Hype Bros take on Team Cologne. I wonder what they smell like. Oh, wrong cologne. Primo and Epico. Huh?
Hibiscus, if you remember the Shining Star Resort and Retreat.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anyone wants to remember that. Anyway, so not a terrible match. This more seemed like a way for Zack Ryder to kind of get the ring rust off, because this was a little bit of Zack Ryder was kind of the smaller, weaker guy trying to get to the hot tag for the bigger Mojo Rawley. But at the same time, to me, protected Mojo, because let's be honest, he's getting better, but he's still not that great.
Well, I think they're actually protecting Mojo as well, because Mojo's on something of a push here. Let's not forget his money or his Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal win earlier in the year.
It is true. And matches. Well, technically, Mojo Rawley was number one contender for the WWE Championship at one point.
He did face Jinder Mahal this past week on SmackDown, or 2 weeks ago on SmackDown.
He was pinned at one point.
Well, I don't think it was a title match. I think it was non-title with Mojo. One, he was added to the SmackDown Men's Money in the Bank ladder match, if I recall correctly.
Anyway, I mean, Mojo to me is getting better. I still won't say I'm a fan of his, but he's definitely much better than when he was using ass-based offense in NXT, I'll put it that way.
Yes, let's leave the ass-based offense to Naomi.
And Asuka.
Yes, and Asuka.
In terms of this match, it wasn't really anything special, unlike the Shining Star Resort. But, I mean, it wasn't terrible. It did its job. The Hype Bros still are able to pick up the victory, and the Colognes kind of slowly just go away.
Well, in fairness, we've been kind of hoping the Colognes would go away for the better part of about a decade now.
Well, since Carlito left.
That's probably fair.
That's the one Cologne that I think people still do like.
Even if his attitude sucked. All in all, I'd say probably around 2 stars-ish. Nice little fun match on the pre-show in order to get people invested. A good win for the babyfaces to get the St. Louis crowd hyped up for the start of the pay-per-view event. And I think there'll be more down the road to come between Zack Ryder and Mojo. I just don't think this was the place to start it. So good call on not teasing any tension between the two of them.
I'm going to agree on that and say, 2 stars. I mean, it wasn't a terrible match. Wasn't anything memorable. It was just kind of there, essentially, to, I think, help, like I said, help Zack Ryder get a little bit of ring rust off and still, you know, give Mojo a win considering the push that he's been getting. I'm perfectly okay with it.
All right. With that, we move on to the main card.
And indeed we do. And kicking things off is a history-making match. Not a big fan of it going first. You know, they made a big deal of the women's Hell in a Cell, and that one went last. Not saying this should have gone last, but I don't think this should have kicked it off. It is the women's SmackDown Live Money in the Bank match. It is Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Carmella, Tamina, and Natalia. Carmella with James Ellsworth in her corner. I have no choice but to mention him. And as Harry mentioned, Carmella technically wins the Money in the Bank. So she is the very first Miss Money in the Bank. However, getting to that point? Yeesh. Not great.
The match itself was kind of a cluster fudgesicle, but to be fair, I think if you weren't expecting it to be a cluster fudgesicle, you were setting yourself up for disappointment.
But at the same time, they seemed nervous for the entire match. It's like all of a sudden, right before they go out, and just Vince says, if any of you injure another one, you're fired. Or something like that, because the entire time they felt nervous. Real quick, how many big boots do you think Charlotte threw in that match? 5, 6?
My over-under is 4.5.
Okay, so I'll actually round that up to 5. How many do you think she actually connected within 4 inches with?
I can't say I was paying full attention, so...
It's just like the whole match just seemed kind of, like you mentioned, as a cluster, and it felt like the women couldn't really get it going, but it felt like once they did get going, it ended.
Let's think about this as well, though. Let's not forget that you have arguably the two worst workers in the women's division in this match as well.
Tamina and Carmella?
Yes.
SmackDown's women's division?
Well, yeah. Obviously not. Well, I mean, Lana, but Lana was kind of an unknown going into tonight. We didn't know we were getting her. Of the 6 women on the SmackDown women's roster that we do know what they're capable of, clearly Tamina and Carmella are the least gifted of the 6.
So without a doubt, of course, one of them had to win. And in this case, it's Carmella, but...
See, people hate the finish, but I'm actually okay with it. I think it's an excellent talking point. Yes. It's screwy, but I think it's intentionally so. And honestly, I think it's going to set up a big Money in the Bank rematch on SmackDown.
But here's the... Okay. I want to try and give... Because I've seen a lot of people complaining Ellsworth shouldn't have gone up and you know, Carmella shouldn't have won and blah, 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 and woo, woo, woo. I'll give my point of view here, all right? I think a lot of people... After Becky Lynch hits the powerbomb on Carmella, and she starts going up, Ellsworth causes her to fall off the ladder. I think a lot of people wanted Ellsworth to go up, expecting him to take some kind of a major bump.
I agree, and I think you set yourself up to fail by doing that because of some of the bigger bumps that Ellsworth has taken in the past. Let's not forget the bump that he took at the Royal Rumble straight to the floor.
Oh, or the bump that he took at Survivor Series. Yeesh.
Death by Strowman, as we called it then.
Yeah, but it was one of those things of, not only that, if this was the second Women's Money in the Bank, or the third... I think the finish would be more accepted. But when you're pushing and hyping up and giving one hell of a promo video, because that was a great video that they were doing to hype up the match, you know, and you focus on history-making first-ever Women's Money in the Bank. And it's not someone standing tall at the top of that ladder with that briefcase. It's kind of one of those things where you just look at it, it's just like, oh. It makes it feel smaller. It's something that, to me, should have felt huge. And going into the final 2 minutes of the match still would have been huge. But just, if Ellsworth had helped her up there, I think that would have been a whole different thing. Or even if Carmella and Becky were climbing opposite sides and Ellsworth holds Becky down. That kind of thing. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of the finish. I'm okay with who won it, just not how we got there.
I still don't think it stands past Tuesday, so I think people are getting their collective panties in a bunch over nothing significant.
Now, I have another point of talking about a potential rematch, but I want to wait until a later match. Okay, I want to wait until the WWE Women's Championship match.
I honestly feel like Carmella would have been best served to cash in tonight. And I'll explain that when we get there. But for now, let's go ahead and move on and let's talk about the tag team title match.
Rating. We're giving ratings, remember? Your insistence.
Okay. 2.5. Pushing 3, I guess. I'm going to give a little bit of slack to the ladies in this regard because of the fact that it was their first time. I think with the exception of one of them, it was all of their first time in a ladder match, period. I think the only one that's ever been in a ladder match before was Natalya. So I'll be a little bit more generous here. I'll go 2.5, leaning towards 3. So I guess technically, even though we really don't do quarter stars here, it would be about a 2.75 for me.
For me, 2 should have been at least 3. I just felt like they were all nervous going in. The way the finish happened, yeah, it sets up a potential, you know, Money in the Bank rematch for Tuesday, but it shouldn't be happening Tuesday. It should have happened tonight. So I'm going to go with the 2. I still feel like that this could have been so much better than it was. This should have been 3.5, at least.
I don't think there were good enough workers to. I don't think there were good enough workers to carry this thing to 3.5.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think Carmella and Tamina being in this match is going to drag it down to the point that I don't think 3.5 is possible. I think your high watermark here was probably about 3.
See, here's the thing. If tonight's match was like the brawl that they had that caused Shane to make it a Money in the Bank, I think it could have been a 3.5.
All right, I will agree with you in the fact that I think that the brawl that they had to set this up as going towards Money in the Bank was really good. I would agree with that. But at the same time, though, I don't think they're competent enough workers inside of a ladder match setting to be able to have been able to pull off the Money in the Bank ladder match themselves.
Alrighty, our next contest that I'm blanking on
is the tag team titles.
Ah, yes, thank you. Day one is the Usos put their titles on the line against Kofi Kingston and Big E Langston of The New Day.
A little bit surprised
to see that promo before.
Little bit surprised that they decided to go with the Kofi Kingston, Big E Langston pairing of The New Day here. Because I called in advance that I thought for sure that they were going to screw the New Day out of the titles here. So I figured for sure we were going to get a pairing of The New Day with Xavier Woods involved.
Which most likely would have been Big E and Xavier.
Well, that was the pairing that wrestled as a team on SmackDown, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was in the 8-man tag, it was Big E, Xavier, Tyler, and Fandango against the Usos and the Colognes.
Very, you know, a good match here, but my God, Big E really needs to stop doing moves to the outside. Like, seriously.
Yeah, that spear looks scary.
Then again, it looked like everyone was trying to kill each other in this match at some point. Kofi taking crazy bombs. I think Jimmy took one. Big E taking a couple.
Let's talk about Kofi's back bump over the top rope, shall we? Like, seriously, who the hell approved that?
Kofi.
I thought it looked like for sure that he landed smack on the back of his head to me.
Apparently.
Anyways, all right. Carry on.
And as you mentioned, New Day wins. Because Jimmy and Jay decide to just walk out. When they realize it's essentially when the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's what it is.
No, technically it's smart. And Bradshaw, for as much flack as we give the bastard, actually had a very smart point about this here. He pointed out the fact that Champion's Advantage favors the Usos here. This sets up a rematch down the line where all four of these men, five if you count Xavier, can let loose and steal the show, for lack of a better phrase.
You could make the argument they stole the show here tonight.
I think you could definitely make that argument.
The good match was really getting going, and then we went, towards the end there. And yeah, I would have no issues with them having, another match or two down the line. I don't know that I would have this go all the way to SummerSlam, but I would.
I will point out that SummerSlam is SmackDown's next pay-per-view, so yeah, it's going to SummerSlam, Holmes.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
They really have a pay-per-view in July, son of a...
Battleground, just like last July.
That's dumb.
Anyway.
All these B and C pay-per-views are taking away from the importance of the big ones.
Why do you think I kept calling July the month of Great Balls of Fire and Love is a Battlefield?
We still haven't used that name on the reaction for the Raw July pay-per-view. It is still just the Raw July pay-per-view.
Too late. Anyway. I do see this going through to Battleground. I don't know that they can get all the way to SummerSlam, though.
I think they can. I think we do some kind of reverse decision finish at Love is a Battlefield.
Copyright trademark me 2017.
Checks in the mail.
Anyway. So, our next contest.
Ratings.
Oh, yeah. That's your thing. You got to remember that.
Three and a half. And if some of the stuff would have been cleaner, you're looking at pushing four. Big E almost killing Jay on that attempted catch into the big ending. Yikes.
Here's my question, real quick. I'm going to cut you off. Which one was worse, Big E's catching of Jay or Roman trying to do whatever he was trying to do with The Undertaker at Mania? Same thing.
Roman's tombstone reversal was bad, but I think Big E and Jay just got too far forward in order to be able to pull off the standing switch and the standing catch into the big ending.
So Roman was like again. Okay.
I would say Roman's was worse, but I would say they're kind of interchangeable though, same kind of concept.
Okay.
One was a reversal, one was a catch.
I'm gonna be a little lower, but for the same thing. Three could have been 3.5 if, as you said, everything was clean. There were some poof. You had, like you mentioned, Big E dropping Jay, although that was just momentum carried him forward a little too much. Kofi landing on his head. There was something else, and for the life of me, I'm blanking on it. But if it was cleaner, this absolutely could have been an amazing match. Instead, it's just a pretty good match.
I really dug Kofi's trust fall.
That was cool.
I just wanted to give credit where credit was due. We're talking about how questionably looking some of those dives were. Kofi's trust fall was impressive.
Yeah. All right. Our next contest, now I'm right, is the...
Scheduled for one fall.
One fall.
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure that finally they just said, you know what, for title matches, just pause after you say one fall and let them get it out and then go on.
Yes. Or as Vince would put it, courtesy of Bruce Pritchard, let the marks have their moment.
Wow. Anyway. This match, the match of the great unknown. Naomi putting her SmackDown women's title on the line against Lana.
Who did not wrestle
in the dress. So automatically this match is one star for me. Complete disappointment. I wanted her to wrestle in the dress, damn it.
I think that outfit was worth at least 2 stars for me. Sweet baby Jesus.
Yeah, she was wearing a whole lot of not much.
I don't know where that line comes from, but it's
actually, real quick, the windows on the side were fabric.
I don't care. Sweet. I know we're all supposed to be about this women's revolution and everything like that, but sometimes you just want to see a cute ass, and she's got one.
Good grief, man.
Sorry.
This match was better than it had any right to be.
I agree with that. But actually, my girlfriend, who is not a big wrestling fan, found herself being very entertained by this match and actually found herself rooting for Naomi, which I think means mission accomplished.
Yeah, I would say mission accomplished on that. Now, all right, here's where it starts to really kind of frustrate me. First match ended how it ended. You know, with Ellsworth grabbing the briefcase for Carmella. Second match, champions walk out to a countout. Third match, Carmella costs Lana the match. Naomi and Lana were actually having, I wouldn't even just say a passable match. I would put it above that. They were having not a pretty good match. Especially, I mean, it was an easy match of just Lana working over, you know, a single body part, in this case, Naomi's leg. But it was not a bad match by any means. And then Carmella comes out while after Lana had hit the Lana Machka crusher driver, whatever the hell they're going to call it, the Gordita Crunch. That's what it actually is.
The Barbie Crusher, but not with a stunner. Can we call it the Barbie Spine Buster? How's that sound?
I'm calling it the Gordita Crunch.
I don't get that reference, but okay.
Someone, I can't remember the name, but someone actually used that move, but they called it the Gordita Crunch. I can't remember who used it, though. Anyway. So Carmella comes out and acts like she's going to cash in and then decides, you know what, wait. Because had she done it, she would have done what Rollins did at WrestleMania 31 and decides, no, just wait and, you know, you can finish the match. To which, almost immediately, because Naomi had time to recoup, Naomi ends up picking up the victory to retain the belt. To which Carmella then once again teases that she's going to cash in and then decides, you know what, never mind. I'll do it some other time. Well,
you know what? Go ahead. I had a point to raise about Lana not, Carmella not cashing here.
Hmm.
I think it was a missed opportunity by having her not cash in here because I feel like if the storyline is going to be that they're going to take the briefcase or at least make her fight for it again on SmackDown, why not have her cash in, fail, and then try to pass it off as, oh, I never should have had the briefcase anyway. So you could tease that Shane and Daniel weren't going to let the briefcase go like that. You could have got multiple cash-ins off of that briefcase.
Or another idea that I had, Carmella cashes in, wins. Then on Tuesday, they decide, well, you never should have had the briefcase anyway. So we're going to declare the title vacant, and rather than do another five-person Money in the Bank ladder match, we'll give you a shot at your belt in a six-person ladder match for the Women's Championship, which probably would have ended up being, well, it would have been six people because Naomi would have been included, winning the belt off of her, and seven because Lana probably would have been in there.
Right, now my question to that would be, is would you do that at Battleground or would you do that on SmackDown?
Battleground. You've got 5 weeks. It's 3 weeks until Raw July pay-per-view, 5 weeks until
SmackDown July pay-per-view.
Well, no, I'm fine with theirs. Until Battleground. But I get that in this case, the kind of dirtiness of the finish does play into it wholeheartedly, 100%. But three straight iffy finishes? Not a huge of that.
And especially not something we're used to seeing from SmackDown, which has been, by and large, the A show as regards to the booking as well as the in-ring content. Since the brand extension back in the summer of last year.
Yeah, so not a big fan of that, although I would be okay with this one if we weren't getting the other finishes that we were getting. That's where the issue arises. Carmella coming out and costing Lana somewhat the match? Okay. Not after you have a count-out win and the fact that you won it kind of dirty. So, not a big fan of that. Speaking of goofy finishes, our next... Oh, wait. Rankings for this one.
I'm going to go 2.5 again. I was actually very impressed by Lana. The screwiness of the involvement by Carmella does bring it down a touch, but I think Lana and Naomi deserve credit for the work that they did put in.
I absolutely agree on pretty much every part, 2.5. Hell of a first showing for Lana, because it's her first real showing, because let's be honest, that WrestleMania 32 tag match, I don't think she did anything in it. And she here we are. Huh?
She might have hit one or two moves, that was it.
And by moves, we mean punches. But here we are, 1.5 years later, she's definitely better.
Question. Do you think that has everything to do with what's going on with her being down at NXT and training all that time? I mean, I'm sure working with people like Asuka, Peyton Royce, Nikki Cross, Fit Finlay, Sarah Del Rey is going to do nothing but help her down there.
Well, duh! Why do you think she was in NXT to begin with?
I don't think there's any question that the NXT crop of women right now is probably more athletically gifted. I think the current main roster women have better personalities.
Fair enough. So, alrighty. Our next contest, thank God, is for the... Wait, was the tag match or the title match first? Title match was first, right?
Title match, tag match is a buffer. Main event was Money in the Bank. Was the SmackDown men's Money in the Bank?
So our next contest for the WWE Championship, the champion Jeter, Jinder Mahal, the modern day Maharaja, puts the belt on the line against the hometown hero.
And boy, did they try to beat you over the head with it!
Yes, they did, and I'll mention the other part of it. Randy Orton on Father's Day in St. Louis in front of, and I actually really like this, although they pretty much kind of made it really friggin' obvious what was going to happen, in front of the St. Louis Legends, as they called it. Several of the legends and icons of, you know, yesteryear that wrestled out of St. Louis. And I'm trying to remember all of them. Greg Gagne, Larry the Axe Hennig, Baron Von Raschke, Sergeant Slaughter, Cowboy Bob Orton, yes, Randy's dad, and, of course, the Nature Boy, Rick Flair. I really liked that they did this and honored them. The only other time I can think of them doing this, 97? Where they did something small, very similar to this, honoring St. Louis wrestling icons. And boy, did the crowd react to these guys.
Okay, two things. One, Flair got arguably the biggest pop of the night.
Duh.
Two, we skipped a segment.
Oh, that was here, wasn't it?
Yeah, we'll discuss it after we talk about the match since we're already getting into the match.
Yes, during the incredible amount of stalling that they did before this match, let's be honest, there had to be over 20 minutes. So, into the match itself, and there's really only one way I can describe this. Take Backlash, copy, paste.
Doesn't mean it was a bad match.
It wasn't that bad of a match. The only difference was the addition of Cowboy Bob Orton right towards the end. Other than that, you had Randy almost killing the Singh brothers. Thank God the table broke on the RKO.
I think Randy probably got the worst of that RKO, if we're being honest.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, he still almost killed that other Singh brother, but I think Randy got the worst of that RKO.
Seriously, how did they piss him off so badly?
To want to just attempt physical manslaughter every time he wrestles with them around ringside?
Yeah, to try and break their neck and try and kill them. That was the worst bump of the night, even over Kofi's.
I don't know. Kofi's was pretty rough looking.
Either way, it was bad. So, but yeah, just to me, it seemed like a very similar match. Not a bad match by any means. And yeah, maybe it was dominated by Orton a little bit, but at the same time, he's the hometown kid wrestling in front of his father. So yeah, I'm going to think he's going to get a brunt of the offense there. It wasn't a bad match. May have actually been Jinder's best one during his entire push in title reign.
Given the fact that he hasn't exactly done a whole hell of a lot with the company even up to this point, I'd say it's probably his best match in WWE thus far.
Nah, his best match was WLC.
Okay, but he wasn't an actual participant in that match. He just happened to bust.
Hey, it was a match he participated in.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. It was fantastic. Way better than it had any right to be, but he was not an actual official participant.
All right, fine.
Don't get me wrong. I loved me some WLC. That was way better than it had any right to be.
Yeah, true. But, yeah, just to me, it was copy and paste because it was Randy attacks the Singh brothers after they had been thrown out, you know, for... That whole thing was Singh Brothers Orton hits the RKO, Singh Brothers put the foot on the rope, Mike Yoda was originally going to disqualify him, right? I'm not crazy in thinking that.
No, he was not going to disqualify Mahal, but he did immediately kick out the Singh Brothers.
Bull. There is no way you can tell me with all that stalling that Yoda wasn't considering disqualifying him.
Okay. After the first three finishes, that crowd would have rioted if Orton had won by disqualification.
Hey, Orton wins in his hometown. It's a miracle.
He is not Rich Swann. That does not count.
He is not Naomi.
Okay, that's fair too. I like my Rich Swann reference more.
I know. Considering nobody actually realized that was Rich Swann's hometown. Anyway.
The Raw creative roster clearly didn't know that was Rich Swann's hometown.
Oh, absolutely not. Wow, Swann's getting a hell of a... All right, we're moving on. To which the Singh brothers then go to attack Bob Orton Jr. Randy goes out to beat the ever-loving piss out of them and almost kill one of them again. RKO through a table, and Randy comes back in to a kick to the knee and the, what is he calling it?
Koloss. K-H-A-L-L-A-S.
Koloss. Okay. I still have trouble pronouncing that, like, seriously. And Jinder picks up the victory.
Jinder stays unhindered. Good for him.
Yay. But four straight matches with dirty finishes.
Am I the only one who was surprised that Bob Orton Jr. didn't just beat the Singh brothers' asses single-handedly? Because I fully expected that to happen.
Or Bob takes one and Rick takes the other?
We all know Rick don't care about anybody but himself.
Well, cares about his daughter.
Not anymore. They're feuding, remember?
No, they were feuding on Raw. This is SmackDown. Totally different.
Ah, that's fair.
Totally different creator. Although, that's tonight, fair. You fooled me.
That's also fair.
Four dirty finishes.
Match rating?
3.5. Should have been more.
I'd say probably around 3 because I don't think it was as good as the tag title match. But, in my opinion, respectable.
I know a lot of people were bored by it, and it was a little slow going, but at the same time, I think at this point, I almost feel like one of the matches went short. Because all of a sudden, they had a 20-minute span where they were just stretching for time. And that was between the women's title match and the WWE title match. It was weird. They did the Legends part. They did the video. There were a couple other things. And they were stretching for like over 20 minutes. And then I realized 3 out of 5 advertised matches are done. It was only 8 o'clock my time. So something was weird.
Maybe the segment we're going to talk about next ran shorter than it was anticipated to.
God, I hope not. Oh, that segment.
What did you think I was referring to?
Dusty Rhodes being a fashion icon.
Oh, no, that was fantastic.
Oh, that was absolutely amazing, just for the very opening of it.
All right, so since
that match is up next anyway, a couple segments that we have to talk about. The first one being what leads to the next contest, which is not the ladder match.
Let's talk fashion advice, shall we?
I loved it just for the very opening shot. And even the person mentioned loved it for that moment.
The big ass cell phone that Fandango was on that said "property of Paulie."
Yes, and Paulie mentioned on Twitter that he loved it.
Oh, if Christine were awake, she would attest to the fact that I busted out laughing as soon as I read that the phone said "property of Paulie." I lost it.
All right, so that makes two of us. That was the hardest laugh that I had the entire night. So then, suddenly, Breezango get a fax that's a foreign language, if you ask Fandango.
Or he was just holding it upside down, if you ask normal people.
Of course. To which Breeze then goes to the door, because it was answer the door. So then it was, watch me. It was a VHS, and yes, they somehow had a working VCR in 2017, to which Mystery Figures admitted that they were the ones who completely tore apart their office, and that they would show themselves later in the night.
Confession?
I
was kind of hoping it was going to be American Alpha.
Now, once you saw the shadows, there was no denying who the hell it was.
Oh, no. Clear as day, it was Rick Victor and Connor O'Brien.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Connor and Victor. It was Victor and Connor who ate Victor.
Yeah, and them boys put on...
Huh?
It looks like them boys might have put on some weight.
No, just Connor. Victor looked good. Connor is huge. Anyway, we'll talk about that when we get to the match. The other segment that we have to mention, well, they were rumored.
I'm actually okay with this. What do you have against Mike? What do you have against Mike Bennett?
Who?
Excuse me, Michael Canales.
Who?
Mike Canales.
Thank you. You're gonna say it right. Boy, this got the most. This may have gotten as much backlash as Ellsworth winning the Money in the Bank. How dare Mike be stuck with his wife's name?
Because Maria is a name to WWE fans. Most WWE fans don't have a clue who the fuck Mike Bennett is.
That was my exact point. Like, to a T, that was my point. People know who Maria Kanellis is. They won't know who Maria Bennett is, and in turn, won't know who Mike Bennett is. So, this way...
I mean...
What?
Even JBL pointed it out, too. JBL pointed out that it was done on purpose. Because he says... JBL said himself he took her last name.
Because guess what? WWE most likely has some rights to Maria Kanellis. And this way, they can still use a real name that's associated with at least one of them and get away with having rights to the other name, Mike Kanellis and Maria Kanellis.
And with all the stuff that the WWE does merchandise-wise, specifically with the fact that we'll probably see a Mike and Maria 2-pack down the line in regards to action figures, they want to have something that they can have the license to, thus Mike and Marie Kanellis. Mike and Maria, excuse me, Kanellis.
Did you just say Mike and Maurice?
Marie, oh. M-A-R-I-E. I put an E instead of an A at the end. I called her Marie instead of Maria.
Getting to the promo. Little rusty?
A little bit. Maria's been doing the First Lady of Wrestling shtick for a while, so you'd think she'd be a little bit more comfortable. I'd say nerves probably played a part in it as well, though. Her big return to the WWE after being gone for the better part of about 5 years or so.
Was it really that long?
Probably. Bennett came into Ring of...
You there? Harry. All right, so apparently Harry disconnected, or I did. So, I mean, for the promo itself, a little rusty, I would think, in terms of Maria's promos at Impact weren't exactly great, and I don't think she really talked that much at Ring of Honor. So...
Yes, she did. She was one of the big focal points of the Mike Bennett character in Ring of Honor, doing the First Lady of Wrestling thing. She took pretty much the First Lady of Wrestling thing from Ring of Honor to TNA, or Impact, or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Yeah, at the time, TNA. I just remember one thing from Maria's time in Ring of Honor, but it's something I can't bring up.
And if you want to hear more about Maria in Ring of Honor, make sure you check out the Wrestling Unwrapped episode for Ring of Honor Glory by Honor 11 from 2012 in the archives on W2MNet.com. All right, let's get to the final two matches.
Indeed. So our next contest, we kind of already touched up on it. It was the Fashion Popo, Breezango, Febreze, whatever the hell you want to call him this week. Tyler Breeze and Fandango taking on the Mystery Team. that destroyed their office, aka the returning Ascension, Connor and Victor, or, well, Victor and the refrigerator. How much weight did Connor gain?
I honestly can't answer that question. I wasn't really paying attention. In fairness, the match was like 3 minutes long.
Yeah. If you're going to be the guys that are going to be unmasked or, you know, shown to be the ones that are doing all of this to Breezango, why the hell did Breezango win?
Because Breezango are the baby faces, and let's be honest, nobody really gives a crap about the Ascension.
Indeed. Boy, were people knocking me.
I stand by what I said earlier. I think this would have been the perfect vehicle to turn American Alpha, and I think American Alpha coming out and just destroying the Fashion Police would have established them as a heel tag team, and then you can set up for the New Day to take the tag titles from the Usos and set up American Alpha as the first challengers for the New Day.
That makes sense. Is it bad that even though, you know, it's kind of questionable Breezango winning, I was still happy that they won? I've never really been a fan of the Ascension, so I just looked at this and went.
I don't think it was really questionable that Breezango won. I think it makes sense that Breezango won because Breezango's been arguably the most overacting in the SmackDown tag division for the last 3 months.
I'd like to hear that argument.
Are you disagreeing?
No. I'm agreeing with you. I'm saying I'd like to hear the argument against them being the most entertaining tag team.
Let's be honest, SmackDown's tag division has been kind of in the dregs since American Alpha went, well, nowhere fast. And waiting for the official launch to the SmackDown tag division of the New Day, they were kind of in a holding pattern, and Breezango made it worth the wait.
Yeah, because they've been absolutely entertaining as hell.
The only thing I have to say, though, is can we make sure Paul gets his phone back?
Oh, absolutely. He has to.
All right.
Since we know that it's his property, said so.
All right, main event.
Indeed.
Patrick?
Yes?
Not to say I told you so, but...
Where the hell was Rusev?
I called this one.
And you just dropped again. Oh, no.
I said that Baron. I've said from the beginning when the participants were announced, Baron Corbin was going to walk out of here as SmackDown's Mr. Money in the Bank, and I was proven 100% correct tonight.
I'll say this, sorry, but cheap plug. When we did our predictions on my show on Wednesday, I took two people. I said Rusev if he magically ends up in the match. If not, Baron Corbin. Granted, I took Charlotte for the women's match.
I took Becky, so I'm right there with you.
So, yes, our main event, thank God. Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Baron Corbin, Sami Zayn.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
No, I was going to save him for last.
Dolph Ziggler?
Yes, thank you. Boy, that feels like a metaphor for his career right now.
Yeah.
But I forgot him.
Well, if you believe Shinsuke Nakamura, he's on his way to Japan by the end of the year anyway, so.
Sure. We'll see. He won't do much there either.
That's fair, actually.
Yes. So, we think that it's going to be all six men. However, after the fourth man comes out, so at this point, Sami Zayn, Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens, and AJ Styles are currently in the ring as Nakamura goes to make his entrance, which, if you watch Talking Smack, Baron Corbin did have a fair point in saying, it's a long entrance. Nakamura goes to come out, and Baron Corbin attacks him, hits him with a ladder and with a TV camera, and suddenly Nakamura's out of the match. So... this match starts with only five. And what a match they would have. Maybe not the world's greatest Money in the Bank match, but by no means a bad Money in the Bank match.
I really enjoyed this one. I think that all five men held up their bargain up until Shinsuke's return. And then Shinsuke more than held his own in his first ladder match. I do believe in his entire career.
Oh, no. By no means am I saying this is a bad Money in the Bank. I'm just saying it's not. I would put it in the middle, maybe not the upper echelon of Money in the Bank ladder matches, but absolutely a very good one. Owens and Zayn, you know, continue their Fight Forever deal. AJ Styles puts on a clinic. You could make the argument Sami Zayn being the MVP of the match.
I don't think there's any questions. Sami was the MVP of this particular Money in the Bank match.
I do find it weird that Nakamura was pretty much out for almost the entire match, aside from the last 5 minutes. But that might be a, we see big things in you, for the love of God, don't get hurt.
Yeah, very little in the way of offense taken by Nakamura in this match. I think the only ladder that he was actually hit with was the one that he was hit with by Corbin. Because, if I recall correctly, when he was taken out of the match at the end for Corbin to go into the finish, they just knocked him off the ladder, that's all. He didn't even get hit with a ladder or anything. He just bumped off of the ladder when Corbin spelled him in Styles towards the end of the contest.
Now, here's the thing. Do you want to know what my biggest takeaway from this is? And it's not Baron Corbin winning it.
I'm listening.
It's probably the biggest takeaway from that, aside from Baron Corbin winning it. I know what match we're going to get at WrestleMania 34.
Baron Corbin, John Cena?
Who gives a damn about that one? We're getting Nakamura Styles.
Yeah, I'm going to say that's going to happen at SummerSlam.
I don't know about that. Because I'm feeling we may get Styles and Owens maybe to close out their feud at SummerSlam. I don't know what Nakamura, but I feel like they're gonna go that route with Styles and Owens.
I feel like we're going to get the Styles-Owens blow off at Battleground, and then we go to Styles and Nakamura at SummerSlam. And I wouldn't be surprised if Styles and Nakamura at SummerSlam is for AJ Styles' U.S. title.
Almost feels like it would be a waste.
How so? In what universe is Styles and Nakamura for the U.S. title at SummerSlam a waste?
Yeah, title part. That's a world championship match.
Okay, but neither one of them is in the world title picture on SmackDown right now. You can just But you can increase the prestige of the U.S. title by having those two men fighting for it.
Fair point.
Would you or would you not agree that that match being for the U.S. title raises the level that the U.S. title sits at?
I don't know that it would raise the level of the title or if it would bring them down.
Look at what John Cena's U.S. Open Challenge did for the U.S. title. I think a guy like...
Look at what Roman Reigns did with it.
Okay, but Cena brought prestige back to the U.S. title by doing the Cena U.S. title Open Challenge matches.
Yes, once again, look at what Roman Reigns did to damage it.
All right,
and this is not even me just being, you know, knocking Roman Reigns, but...
This is you being snarky for the sake of being snarky.
Is it not true, though?
No, it's not. I don't think Roman deserves as much of the hate as he gets.
Never defended the belt. That's the issue that everyone has. He was never... The issue's not really with him. It's with, you know, the creative side of it. But... How many times did he defend that belt in his entire reign? Three times?
Okay, how many times did Dean Ambrose defend the U.S. title when he was the champion? And nobody said shit back then.
Bull! That's a load of crap. A lot of people were complaining about that.
Okay, but...
title reign when he was with the Shield and with his most recent Intercontinental title reign. A lot of people complained about that.
My point is,
be a fighting champion. Kevin Owens is a fighting champion. Somewhat.
My point being here is that this kind of match, with the U.S. title being in the balance, raises the prestige of the U.S. title to me. If you don't agree with me, that is entirely your opinion. You're entitled to it. But I am of the opinion that having that match be for the U.S. title would do nothing but increase the prestige of the belt itself. The belt, the person makes the belt. The belt doesn't necessarily make the person.
That's Lex Luger. Anyway.
And if you get a chance, listen to the Lex Express episode of Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard.
Who is not on our network. Anyway.
But it's still a good podcast.
Anyway.
Go ahead.
Get back to this show. Nakamura turns into the Terminator in the last 5 minutes of the match by coming back and just hitting everybody with a Kinshasa.
It was almost enough to make me regret the fact that Corey Graves was on Raw.
That would have been great. Although Tom Phillips didn't do that bad with his calling of the Kinshasa.
It wasn't Corey's.
Alright. Do you really think Corey would have been so great after four of them?
Okay, maybe the first couple would have been awesome, and then he would have blown his proverbial load at that point, but still.
Match itself, I thought it was a very good match. And it got the point across. I have a hunch I know how a certain episode of SmackDown's going to go.
Corbin confronting Cena?
Yeah, we'll go with it.
Or Cena confronting Mahal. Cena... Well, the rumor is it's Cena and Mahal at SummerSlam for the SmackDown title. Do you think that Cena beats Mahal for the title at SummerSlam and Corbin cashes in on Cena at SummerSlam?
I don't think they get that far. I've heard in the past week that it's not going to be Cena and Mahal anymore.
Frankly, Cena doesn't need to be anywhere near the SmackDown title picture right now anyway, with him being gone as much as he is. Look at what the champion not being there has done for the Raw title.
Exactly. Well, at least he's there now, I guess. So, Baron Corbin ends up picking up the victory, kind of knocking AJ Styles and Nakamura off of the ladder that they were on during their rather incredible fight towards the end of the match that essentially cemented that at some point, whether it be SummerSlam or in New Orleans, we're getting this match.
Well, it's not like we haven't seen the match before either, too.
A lot of people haven't.
Yes, but there are a lot of people who have, and they will take every opportunity to let you know that they have, too.
Trust me, I know. I have seen the only other time that they have ever faced off, and that match was friggin' incredible. So, whether they do it in Brooklyn or whether they do it in New Orleans, I would really prefer New Orleans. I'd love to hear the sound of 75,000 people going crazy for this match. But we're getting this match at some point. However, after the match tonight, Baron Corbin is your new Mr. Money in the Bank. Ratings on this match?
4, pushing 4.5. But I'm going to go with 4. Because I don't think I can quite go up to 4.5.
Totally agree. Definitely a 4 out of 5 for me. This was a very good match. Yes, it was weird that Nakamura was only in there for a short point. But eventually, they got you to forget the fact that Nakamura wasn't in the match. So... you know, that's a job well done by all 5 other guys in the match. And then for them to give us the tease of AJ and Nakamura, only to essentially kill that tease and have Baron Corbin walk out with the briefcase. Bravo. I thought definitely the best match of the night, which we might as well go into the big finish. I think in both of our cases, that's the best match of the night. And it's tag title match was very good, but I think you got more stories and more points across thanks to the Money in the Bank match, the men's Money in the Bank match.
Oh, yeah, when you put the six best workers, okay, the five best workers on SmackDown and Baron Corbin inside of a ladder match, I think you pretty much guaranteed magic. And I think Corbin's getting there as an in-ring talent. I don't know if he's there yet, but working with people such as Sammy, such as AJ, such as Shinsuke is going to do nothing but help his career development.
I would make the argument six out of the top seven. Six out of the top eight, if you include John Cena as a full-time worker. I don't. But at lowest, six out of eight. The other one being Orton.
Orton, when he's motivated. Let's caveat this.
Oh, absolutely. Orton, when he's motivated. Because, you know, he's much like Ambrose now. If he doesn't care, the match is going to suck.
Yeah, and it's pretty obvious to know when he's not giving his full effort. Look at the matches with Eric Rowan, if you need an example.
Well, the match with Luke Harper, Luke must have gotten Orton on a good night.
Poor Luke Harper. All right. Worst match on the night, Patrick. Would it be a cop-out to say that Ascension-Brizango tag match?
No, because, or no, you can't. Yes, it is a cop out. Even though, truth be told,
clear as day, the worst match. But no, I think, given the fact that it was added last minute, only won 3 minutes, I don't think it's really fair to give that the worst match.
And to be honest, that was probably just put in to stretch for time.
Well, then, based on my ratings, much though I hate to say it, I think I have to go with the opening Women's Money in the Bank ladder match.
Yep, I had that in my head too.
Too much tentativeness, not really enough action until the last parts of it. And while I understand the finish, I can also understand why it leaves a sour taste in people's mouth too.
Like, I do hope that this is remedied somehow Tuesday, and not in a, well, even though you didn't deserve it, we're still going to let... Essentially, I don't want them to do what Jim Cornette did with Jeff Jarrett, if you can remember that one.
The whole thing in Canada with Rhino and him winning the title back. Yes, I remember.
And the whole thing with Earl Hebner. Yeah. I don't like that you did this, but I'm going to let you keep the belt, and you better stay on the straight and narrow. That's essentially what it boiled down to. Like I said, even if they do it to where Carmella does end up with it clean, to me, this was an absolute ruined opportunity to have, you know, because let's be honest, it was something, it may have been brought up in our chat or a chat that I was in, because I was in like six of them tonight. Vince is a guy after moments. How could he let this happen to what could have been a huge moment? Of having first this Money in the Bank, winning it, you know, clear as day, standing atop that ladder with that briefcase. How do you not let that moment happen? At the pay-per-view, it should have happened. Even if it happens on SmackDown, to me, it's still ruined. But I also do think if they were to throw in another one, I think Lana ends up in it.
I even take it a step further. I think if Lana ends up in, if they do a Money in the Bank redo, I think Lana wins it.
That's a fair point. Yeah, so I'm really disappointed that I had to say that because I figured the women were going to go, you know, Balls Mahoney to the wall for their match, and they just never did. So, yeah, for me, it was far and away the biggest letdown of the entire show, and just the match itself wasn't great. It sucks to say that.
I'm being told you can't say Balls Mahoney. We apologize for saying Balls Mahoney.
So, real quick before we get out of here, what's your final winner?
6.5. Overall, pretty good show. Several very good matches. Obviously, a couple of disappointing moments, but not enough to take away from my overall enjoyment of the show. The main event more than delivered. Some of the comedy hit, and I really look forward to what they're going to do with the introduction of the two new characters on SmackDown as well, because I have made it no secret that I was a big fan of Mike Bennett's work in Ring of Honor, and Bennett was one of the very few reasons to watch TNA / Impact Wrestling over the course of the last couple of months that he was there.
I would make the argument Maria was a bigger reason to watch Impact
than Mike Bennett.
Maria's voice just, it annoys me.
I actually prefer Ditzy Maria. She sounded better.
I agree. I hope they bring back, well, they're obviously not going to because of the character, but
not a chance.
Yeah, I enjoyed Ditzy backstage interviewer Maria.
Wait, maybe this means we get Santino to come back.
Not likely.
It's worth a shot. Anyway. 5.
Really?
Going back to back to back to back dirty finishes does not sit well with me. Crowd stayed into the show pretty much the entire night, thank God. Commentary wasn't even that bad, but because of how bad to me that Women's Money in the Bank match was, you know, I'm hoping that maybe they were playing it safe for a SmackDown ladder match. I'm hoping. Or something to remedy this, to kind of explain why they didn't go so hard on this one. Man, I hope so. I was actually pleased with the Breezango match. I wasn't really a fan of Jinder and Randy essentially copying and pasting what they did at Backlash. The ladder match, or the men's ladder match, was good. The popcorn tag match was what it was. Wasn't a fan of the finish or how pretty much everybody in the tag match tried to kill themselves. There was a lot that was wrong that to the point at, to my thinking, I almost thought that they were trying to sabotage themselves at points tonight. Because, let's face it, over the past few months, SmackDown has blown Raw out of the water. This was probably the first time that you could say between the two pay-per-views for the month, Raw won. And that's despite arguably the worst match being Bayley and Alexa. You know, but I would argue also the best match between the two pay-per-views was the Fatal 5-Way from Extreme Rules, even over the ladder match.
I think we both gave the Fatal 5-Way a higher score than we gave the ladder match as well.
Yeah, I think we both said 4.5. So,
I believe you are correct.
Yeah. So I would say Raw won this month. Raw's already at a disadvantage for next month, let's be honest, because as we prepare to get off here on Woo Reacts to Money in the Bank, we have to mention it now.
No, the next time we see each other will be for Battleground, because you won't be here for the Raw July pay-per-view.
Well, the next time there is some form of a Woo Reacts, even if it's on W2M...
I'm just taking the week off. Forget it.
We'll be for WWE Great
Balls gracious.
Of Fire. And boy, did they hammer that point into your head tonight. 3 promos? 4?
At least 3, and I think 2 more during the pre-show.
Yeah. So, if you didn't know, now you know. I won't be there. I'll be at Shimmer.
At least the logo doesn't look like a gigantic penis anymore. Tonight's episode of Woo Reacts, Bunny in the Bank 2017, was brought to you by the Madhouse Toy Chest. stores.ebay.com/MadhouseToyChest. If you are a fan of anything wrestling, DVDs, action figures, VHS tapes, magazines, posters, and more, you can find it inside of the Madhouse Toy Chest. Mention that you heard this advertisement here on Woo Reacts and receive a free gift with your purchase.
And as always, we are a presentation of the W2M Network. For more information, including our written reviews, which we just got done with ECW Guilty as Charged 2001. Are you coughing? Anyway, along with all of our past episodes, including if you want to hear W2M's own review of Money in the Bank, check out W2Mnet.com. We will be back next week because you may have missed, if you're listening tonight, that we were not technically on last week. That was because technical difficulties actually prevented us from posting our episode that we were going to do last week. So we will be redoing it this week and posting it Sunday night or Monday at some point during the day. So we will be back with ECW One Night Stand, the very first one, 2005, highlighted by a whole reunion. The ECW gang is back together, the main event being the Dudley Boys versus Tommy Dreamer and Sandman.
I'm being told we still can't say balls, Mahoney.
Okay, very good. And of course, there's the gigantic brawl that happens at the end of the show, and one of the few nights, well, few, one of the nights that proves why JBL is considered such a vile and heinous person. As far as what we do in 2 weeks, keep in touch. We're not sure. And then, like Gary mentioned, in 3 weeks, we will not be on for WWE Great Balls of Fire. I will be enjoying some wrestling at the Berwyn Eagles Club.
And I'm going to see a doctor about getting something from the for the itch that that pay-per-view is most likely to cause. I'm Harry Broadhurst.
And I'm Patrick Ketza, also for Sean Garmer. Thank you for tuning in to Woo Reacts to WWE Money in the Bank 2017 here on the W2M Network.
Goodbye, everyone.
Hopefully we'll be back on next week.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.